7 is the time. It's the big sports show on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Brendan Wiese. Great to have you here Monday night. Talk a little baseball here in our first segment with our good friend from the St. Louis Sports Page. STLSportsPage.com is where you want to go. He's got a great piece up today talking about what we may or may not see the Cardinals do in the offseason. How much money do they spend? How will they spend it? Our good friend Rob Raines with us here on the Big 550. Rob, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us. I want to talk about your article that you wrote today, because there's a lot of good stuff that we can dig into. But first, Rob, just kind of your thoughts. How are you framing the last month of Cardinal baseball? How do we kind of view this 2021 season? How should we view it?
Well, I think it changes the way you go into the winter. I think it changes the way you feel about this team. Had they just stumbled along in September like they'd been stumbling along in, you know, June, July, August, and finished, you know, 83-79 or whatever, you know, or a game above 500 or maybe even potentially a game below 500, I think you would have had a real disappointed feeling about the season that they had really underachieved. Now, I know you can make a case that a part of that underachievement is really because of the injuries, especially to Flaherty and Michaelis and Cam, you know, the guys, the main guys on the pitching side that you thought was going to be a strength of this team. So, you know, there's a reason for it. But still, I think you would have had a really kind of disappointing feeling about how this year went based on what the expectations were when the year began. And I think, you know, going on that winning streak, getting the second wild card, even though you get beat, you know, on a walk-off homer by the Dodgers in the ninth inning, you were right there. I mean, you know, they had plenty of chances to win that game. I mean, they, all they needed was a couple of hits. I mean, instead of going for 0 for 11 in the, you know, runners in scoring position, if they get a hit or two, you know, at any of those key moments, they win that ball game, and they're still playing. So I think you have to, you know, and, but you all know, too, that in a one-game, you know, scenario, anything can happen. So I don't think you can be terribly disappointed by losing that one game. So I think they have a lot to kind of build on based on the way things ended.
I think it's a great point, Rob. And I think the Cardinals showed they were right there, at least for a game, on the same level with the Dodgers for a night. And if they cash in a couple of big hits, who knows how that all turns out. But looking at it maybe from the other side of the coin, Rob, where clearly the talent was there, how do we make, or what do we make of how the team played for 5 months before that the big long winning streak that helped them punch their ticket?
That's the question, I think. I think that's what they have to answer, is which one was the real club, you know? Were they a better club, which I think they also say they were a better club than they played in those 3 or 4 months, and you know, you got to think maybe they're right. I mean, when you look at the talent on paper, you say, you know, and I think it took a couple of things. It took a little change in the lineup and slotting O'Neill between Goldschmidt and Arenado to kind of spread out the lineup a little bit. It took him kind of finding, you know, what kind of hitter he was in that second half of the season, which made a big difference. And in fact, staying healthy and staying on the field made a big difference. And it took Bader getting hot there in the second half of the season. So, I mean, I think it was a collective combination of a lot of things. And I think just, again, they were, the pitching situation after all those guys got hurt was just so bad until they got it kind of the ship righted a little bit. I think that's what they have to kind of point to and say, look, if you hadn't had, you know, and I know it's, you know, wishful thinking and optimistic viewpoint or whatever, but to me, if they don't have those pitching injuries, you know, I don't know how different the whole regular season would have been. Maybe they wouldn't have needed a 17-game winning streak to get in the playoffs. So we don't know.
I think that's a good point, something I think we've talked about before, especially if Flaherty doesn't go down. Where are you relative to where the Brewers finish? Again, an answer that or a question that we won't necessarily have an answer to. Rob, you write about it today on STLSportsPage.com about the upcoming off season. And Rob, I guess the first thing is the money that's coming off the books. There is significant money coming off the books entering the off season.
Yes and no. It seems like there is, because you take all those salaries of the guys that are expiring the contract and add it all up, it's about $60 million off the current payroll. So that's a significant amount of money. But then you start dissecting that a little bit. You realize they've already given out more than $10 million of that $60 million in raises to Wainwright and Molina. DeYoung's due a $2 million raise next year, assuming he's back and part of the picture. And then you got the arbitration guys. You got Flaherty, you got Hicks, you got Reyes, you got Bader, all going to their second year of arbitration. So that's going to eat up some more of that money. And then you got first year arbitration guys in Hudson, O'Neill, and Gallegos. So, you know, there's going to be money to spend. It might bet, you know, who knows how much the arbitration raises will go, but you can kind of make predictions. So, looking at all the math and doing the numbers there, you probably come down to about 30 to 35 million, maybe 30, somewhere probably closer to 30, 32 million after all those guys are accounted for that you can spend and basically keep the payroll about the same as it was last year. But so how do they spend it is the question. And to me, the problem is, you know, you want to go out and sign, everybody says, let's go sign Corey Seager, let's go sign Trevor Story, let's go sign Max Scherzer. Well, that's well and good, and they obviously would be big players and big additions to the club, but you're talking about spending all $30 million on one player or more, and then you'd be talking about having basically, you know, half of your payroll or more tied up in three players, in Goldschmidt, Arenado, and whoever the new guy is. And I don't know. There's just a part of me that says that they're not going to do that, that that's something that they don't want to do. So we'll find out.
I want to talk about that, Rob, because where in the last – oh, I don't know, since the DeWitts have owned this team, where is the evidence that the Cardinals would go out there and sign one of those three players that they haven't already acquired via trade? Obviously, that's something they have done, be it a Holiday or a Rolen, or obviously, Goldschmidt, yeah, during an offseason where they were able to extend him. I don't see any evidence to suggest they'd be able to sign any of those guys.
The two guys that they signed to big contracts as free agents were Dexter Fowler and Mike Leake, and neither one of those really worked out very good. You gave both of them a lot of money. You know, I mean, a lot of money in terms of, you know, a couple of years ago. I mean, I think both those contracts were about $80 million, if I recall, total in value. But you're talking, you know, $200 million probably, yeah, to sign those guys. Especially, I mean, Scherzer will be a different case because I don't think his contract would probably be as long, but I bet you he wants at least a 2 or 3 year deal. And, you know, I just don't see it. I mean, I'd love to see it happen. I'm not saying anything against the players because I think they would be great additions to the club and make the club better. I don't think you can argue that, but it's just from a financial standpoint that I agree with you. I just don't see the tendency of this club to go out and do that. I mean, we talked about Arenado for years about, you know, how much it would be a perfect fit, and when he becomes a free agent or whatever, there was no interest in the club to go out and do that. I mean, well, all indications are that when Scherzer was a free agent, they never even made him an offer, you know, a few years ago. So, at least they got talks, you know, very serious into the talking stage. So we'll see. But I just think you look at some of the other pieces of this club. You look at, you know, if Gorman is ready, as everybody thinks he is, if some of the young pitching like Levitore is coming along, okay, you know, then they've got bodies. I mean, I'm not saying they're as good as any of those other guys would be, but to me, depending on what happens with the DH spot, if it's me, I would say that the guy that I would like, and I put this in the article, the guy to me that makes a lot of sense to the player on this club would be at the DH spot, and that's a guy like Kyle Schwarber. I could just see him kind of sliding in right there in the fifth spot in the batting order behind Arenado, ahead of Carlson, then put Gorman behind them. I mean, all of a sudden you've got a 1-7 that's pretty darn dangerous.
No question. It gets a left-handed bat that you're able to put in to help balance all the big right-handed bats that you have in the middle of that lineup. Obviously, Carlson a switch hitter, Edmund a switch hitter. To circle back to Seager for a second, Rob, and he to me, I mean, obviously, if they were to pull that off, you upgrade the biggest question mark in your starting lineup at shortstop. He's a left-handed bat. He's in the prime of his career. But I bring it back to, again, and this is removed from the Cardinals and maybe their want to go out and spend the big bucks. I don't see any evidence as to where the Dodgers wouldn't give everything Seager wants to keep him in L.A.
Well, I think the evidence is Trey Turner. I think Corey Seager's going to leave the Dodgers, but I just don't see him coming to the Cardinals. I think Turner will be the Dodgers shortstop going forward.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I might be wrong, but that to me, that's one of the reasons they made that trade and got Turner in there, because they knew he could slide right into the shortstop spot. you know, next year if Seager were to leave. The Dodgers got money, but they don't have, you know, they can't continue to keep paying, you know, everybody on the ball club $30 million. I mean, I guess they could potentially, but I just don't see that happening. I mean, they got other holes. You know, they're, people talk about their pitching staff, but, you know, they're starting, you know, guys in the playoffs that I don't think necessarily are guys that they want to, you know, say they're, you know, future all-star players. You know, once you get, you know, Kershaw's, you know, we don't know what Kershaw's situation is with the injury, but once you get past, you know, I don't think Trevor Bauer is going to be back with them. So once you get past, you know, Buehler and but depends what happens with Scherzer, you know, Urias, but, you know, where's the really good guys after that? You know, so if the Dodgers, to me, the Dodgers are going to have to spend money on pitching. Is that what, that's what they're going to do.
Be interesting. I think Seager is so good. I think he's the best player on their team, and the fact that he's a shortstop, if they let him walk, if he gets to that market, man, I'd love to see the Cardinals make a play, because
I would too. And I might be dead wrong. I mean, he may, you know, already have a deal in place with Dodgers. They just haven't announced it. I don't know, but I think, you know, when he hits free agency, he's going to get a lot of money. Yes, and I just think the Cardinals, you know, while they probably would love to have him, they're not, they're questioning that. It's just, I just think the financials would get out of the way, you know, and there'll be too many other clubs that could go out and maybe not necessarily could pay more than the Cardinals, but would pay more than the Cardinals.
Rob Raines is with us, STLSportsPage.com. He writes about the potential offseason plans today on STLSportsPage.com. And Rob, you ask about Edmundo Sosa. Did he show enough to be? I'll say this: I think he absolutely showed enough to be part of the plans next year. But I think it'd be short-sighted for the club to just assume, yeah, he's our guy at shortstop.
Well, see, that's where this also gets a little bit tricky, because, I mean, they moved Gorman to second base this year because they think that's his best spot. He's not going to play third with Arenado here. So, you know, and I don't think there's any evidence that he needs another year in AAA. I think he's ready to play in the big leagues. So if he plays in the big leagues, he's not moving to the outfield the way the outfield played this year, the spot for him to play is second base. So if he plays second base, then what happens to the guy who played second base this year? He probably becomes the shortstop, which is a position that he played in college. And Sosa becomes your backup. DeJong becomes, you know, a trade possibility. So, you know, I think that, and there again, that plays, if you go out and sign Corey Seager and you bring up Nolan Gorman to play second base, then what do you do with Tommy Edman?
Right. I also, in that scenario, Rob, which I really like in terms of offense, but I bring it back to you and just trying to see what the Cardinals do, and with an organization that's still a franchise that is built on pitching and defense. And we saw when that pitching lagged this year how much they struggled and how much things ticked up when the pitching and the defense was rolling in the month of September. If Edmund's your shortstop and Gorman is your second baseman, can't we assume that there'd be a downtick in your infield defense?
There might be a downtick at second. I don't think it'd be a downtick at shortstop. I think Edmund will play very well at short, in the position he played in college. And I, you know, the times I saw Gorman play second this year in the minor leagues, he did fine. I mean, is he going to have as much range as Edmund? No, probably not. But take this into account too. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times is a second baseman playing where a second baseman normally, traditionally, is playing? A lot of times he's playing short right field. You know, I mean, you got three guys on that side of the field. So the range factor of a second baseman is not as important to me as it used to be because of the shifts.
Point.
Unless the shift goes away. But I don't see that happening in this deal. I mean, it will happen eventually in the future, perhaps. I don't think in the new CBA it's going to go away. And I think everything that Gorman would give you offensively would more than offset maybe a little bit of a slight decrease in the defensive performance at that one position.
And you mentioned a guy you liked in Kyle Schwarber, Rob. And I feel like I've said this a bunch in Cardinal off seasons in the past. I'm less worried about where a guy plays this offseason and more worried about, can a guy hit? I think the Cardinals need multiple bats on this roster, because even as things ticked up in the month of September, the depth behind your starters, I thought, was still a big issue. And you've got to have a roster that you can now carry 26 players, Rob. I'm assuming that carries over to next year and beyond. You've got to have a deeper bench and quality bats that aren't just guys that get a courtesy look once a week. That's something I think this ball club really needs to look at.
Well, and I think that's the other thing, too, is that deciding how they're going to use the DH spot. You know, that can strengthen the bench, too, because you can use multiple guys right. in that spot. If you don't go out and sign somebody, you can kind of rotate guys in and out of that spot. I think Nubar is a good bench fourth outfielder. I think he proved he could be a good quality bat off the bench. I think Rondon surprised me a little bit how well he did. I think Juan Yepez is going to be on that bench next year as a right-handed hitter. So, you know, Kisner is going to, as all likelihood, be the backup catcher. Again, something that you only got spot for one more guy, you know, if those are, you know, and that probably would be Sosa. I mean, unless something else were to major, unless he's a starter, and then maybe it's DeJong. Maybe they'll get DeJong as the DH if they don't make a trade there. So, you know, I mean, I think I'd like to see one more guy on the bench, but I think when you're carrying 13 pitchers, you know, which they probably will do, it's hard to carry, you know, and again, with adding the DH, keep this in mind, adding the DH instead of having the pitcher bat, there's going to be less pinch hitting opportunities than there were before. So how many times are you going to pinch hit for anybody else in that lineup?
Yeah, no, you're right. That definitely enters into the equation. I just look at a team like Tampa Bay that's seemingly got a roster that's 26 deep. And again, maybe that does change, and maybe it's not as big of a factor. I don't know. I'm not sold on Nootbaar yet as your fourth outfielder. I think he shows some promise, but man, I'm not sure his bat showed enough outside of maybe a week or a week and a half where he hit a few home runs.
Yeah, there's a possibility. I'm sure they'll look at that as far as the depth move is concerned, if there's a way they could upgrade that spot. But I would not be scared to take him into the next year as the fourth outfielder.
Rob Raines is with us here on the Big 550 KTRS. Rob, you also asked if the rotation needs help. You mentioned Max Scherzer. People are going to want to see the Cardinals go after as a free agent. And obviously, maybe that was something that hurt them at the in the month of June, where it was really slim pickings. But I will once again go back. I mean, organizationally, there are arms that are there to be utilized. I think there are a lot of guys in the mix. Sure, I mean, if you get Scherzer, that it obviously bolsters. I don't know. Do you think it's something that you have to address, and maybe you find somebody that's maybe more along the lines of kind of a low cost, high upside arm as opposed to Scherzer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, again, you know, if they're committed to Alex Reyes being a starter, which they say he's going to come to camp as a starter, and then we'll see, you know, what happens. I think basically you know who the five starters are right now. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't replace any of them at some point this winter if something happens, but, you know, Flaherty, Hudson, Wainwright, Michaelis, and Reyes would be your rotation going into next season. And honestly, is that better than what you had for the majority of this year? Probably.
Yeah.
You're adding Hudson, you're adding Michaelis, you know, and I know which Miles Michaelis are you getting, the one that won, you know, 18 games a couple of years ago, or you know, the guy's been hurt a lot, so you don't know the answer to that question. But then you got, you know, Woodford's still going to be here, and I think they were pleased with how he pitched, you know, when he came back up from the minor leagues. They're still very high on Oviedo. I don't know for sure where his future lies. And then they're saying that they're committed to making Jordan Hicks a starter. He's going to go to the Arizona Fall League. He started a couple games in Memphis that was on limited pitch counts, but he's going to go to the Arizona Fall League and be worked as a starter. So where's, you know, what's his future in that situation? And then he got Liberatore, you know, a 22-year-old kid that's the best pitching prospect that's spent the full year in AAA. So, and got a lot better as the season went on. So, you know, you've got nine guys really right there when you just add those guys together, and that's not counting the possibility of maybe, do you talk about bringing either Lester or Happ? Or I'd be intrigued by a guy like Wade LeBlanc coming back, because to me he could be a swing guy. He could be a you know, long reliever in the bullpen and then start if you needed, had a fill-in need for a starter. To me, I'd be more intrigued by a guy like him than maybe either Happ or Lester again, because I think it would be kind of a lower cost move, and he could fill a couple of needs for you.
One other note, Rob, that I wanted to mention from your article today that I really think is going to be something that will need to be talked about, and that's the contract status of Mike Schilt, who's got 1 year left on his deal. We're seeing it now with the Yankees manager Aaron Boone. His contract runs up. They never addressed his deal, so now he may walk and wind up somewhere else. May have already managed his last game as the Yankees. The Cardinals need to have that addressed one way or the other, don't they? And preferably before the season starts?
Yeah, they generally do not let their manager go into a lame duck season unless they're already thinking about making a change. So I think that's pretty much a no-brainer to me. I don't think Mike Schilt wants to go anywhere else. He's a lifetime Cardinal. He's been in the organization for, 17, 18 years now, so, different capacity. So I don't think there's any possibility of anything different going on there. I don't think he's going to hold them up from a financial standpoint. So, I would suspect it'll be a 2-year extension, potential maybe 2 years and an option, something like that to get going in. That would make him the manager for the next 3 years, so guaranteed. So I think that's a fair contract. So I suspect that's something that'll be done, I don't know what point during the winter, because they probably don't view it as a real high priority until they get, closer to going into next season. But I bet it gets done here at some point.
And Rob, before I say goodbye, are you worried about the pending CBA expiration?
I'm not worried in the sense of the December 1st deadline. That, to me, is just a date. To me, the more important deadline is February 15th, because I don't think anything other than maybe potentially holding up a trade or a free agent signing or something, quote-unquote business as usual that happens during the offseason, I don't think it affects actually the game on the field until you get into players reporting to Florida and Arizona in middle of February. So to me, that's the deadline that they're working under. I know ideally if you could get it done sooner rather than later, that would be terrific. And I just hope that, both sides realize how devastating a work stoppage, whether you want to call it a lockout or a strike, would be to the game. You're seeing the excitement now with the crowds at the playoff games and full stadiums and things like that. And I think from a fan standpoint, if they say, stoppage happening, it's just going to disillusion a lot of people. So I hope that, we all know that, the players are going to try to get as much money as they can get. They're going to try to get some changes in the rules as far as arbitration eligibility and free agent eligibility, so younger players can get paid more money sooner. And I think the owner's going to have a little bit of give and take on that, because they're making a lot of money too. So, and for the good of the game, I think just hopefully cool people on both sides that aren't hot-headed and don't have, screaming arguments with the people on the other side that can and don't do the arguing publicly either. Get in a room, talk it out, and you'll be civil about it. Let's just get a deal done.
One would only hope, that's for sure. Rob Raines, St. Louis Sports Page. Again, check out his article today at SELSportsPage.com. Looking ahead of the offseason, possible money being spent. Great piece, as always, by Rob. It's always a pleasure, sir, to catch up, and thanks for jumping on for a few minutes.
Anytime, Brandon. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You got it, Rob. That's Rob Raines with us here on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Brendan Weesey.